presentation recorded by the disciples of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My dear King, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and promoted to the kingdom, a transcendental kingdom. Please repeat, my dear King.
My dear King.
Although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality
about this age.
Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra,
one can become
freed
from material bondage
and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Very short purport. After mentioning the innumerable faults of this age of Kali, Sukadeva Goswami now mentions its one brilliant aspect. Just as one powerful king can kill innumerable thieves, one brilliant spiritual quality can destroy all the contamination of this age. It is impossible to overestimate the importance of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
especially in this age. End of purport. So we'll go on to the next. Kṛtaya dayato viṣṇum tratayam yajato makai dvarpare paricharyayam kalota dāri kirtanat. Whatever result was obtained in Satya-yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta-yuga by performing sacrifices, in Dvapara-yuga by serving the lotus feet of the Lord, can be attained in Kali-yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Purport. A similar verse is found in the Vishnu Purana 6.2.17 and also in the Bhagavad Purana Uttarakhanda 72.25 and the Brihat Naradiya Purana 38.97. Dayatam kute yagyad yajnat tretayam darpade charyayam yad apnoti tat apnoti kalos sankirtayam keshavam. Whatever is achieved by meditation in Satya-yuga, by performance of sacrifice in Treta-yuga, and by worship of the Lord's lotus feet in Kali-yuga, in Dvapara-yuga, is obtained in the age of Kali simply by glorifying the Lord's name, Sri Keshava. Srila Jiva Goswami has further quoted from the Brahma Vivarta Purana concerning the degraded condition of people in this age. Ato kalo tapo yoga vidyajna dikam kriyaha sanga bhavanti nat kritam kusalar apidehi bihi. Thus, in the age of Kali, the practice of austerity, yoga meditation, deity worship, sacrifice, and so on, along with their various subsidiary functions, are not properly carried out, even by the most expert embodied souls. Unquote. Srila Jiva Goswami has also cited the Chaturmasya Mahatmya of the Skanda Purana concerning the necessity of chanting Hare Krishna in this age. Tata chaivo tamam loke tapasrihari kirtanam kalo yuge visheshana vishnu prityai samachare. In this way, the most perfect penance to be executed in this world is the chanting of the Lord's name Sri Hari. Especially in the age of Kali, one can satisfy the Supreme Lord Vishnu by performing Sankirtan. In conclusion, massive propaganda should be made all over the world to induce people to chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, by which human society can be rescued from the dangerous ocean of the age of Kali. Om Agyan Timirandasya Genajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadatikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
You can do better than that.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam starts off with the sages of Namisaranya discussing various questions related to the age of Kali. How can people actually become Krishna conscious in this age that is about to begin? These sages, they know past, present, and future. Sri Kala Gyan. So in that, they can see that the degraded age of Kali is about to begin. So how will people be delivered in this age? And it is explained that the quality of those in this age are not as like the qualities that people had in previous ages. Especially, we mentioned here, that there are different types of worship according to the different ages, which fits the quality of the age and the quality of the people in the age. Because pretty much these two things are inseparable. People's qualities and the age itself. So, Sutta Goswami, answering one question, says, Manda Sumanta Matayo Manya Bhayu Bhadu Daha. It's a personality description of the age of Kali. People are lazy, unlucky, misguided, quarrelsome, and above everything else, always disturbed. Anyway, welcome to Kali Yuga. So if you know anybody like that, it's normal. But this is the age we live in. So it's a very difficult age. We can go into the characteristics of this age. This whole 12th canto, 3rd chapter, actually deals with how progressively the age will become more and more not only sinful, but degradedly sinful. Like horribly sinful. So it's considered to be, there's like four seasons. Spring, summer, fall, and winter. So the winter is the coldest, and you can expect cold weather in winter. Of course, San Diego is a little different. It's a little warmer here than most places, but generally the winter is always colder than the rest of the year. Well, you can expect these things to happen in Kali Yuga, the degradation, because it is the winter of all ages. But despite all the difficulties, as is mentioned in the previous verse, that it's an ocean of faults, so many faults, on all levels. There's difficulties nationally, socially, politically, economically, emotionally. Go down the list, and you can always find a long, what we say, description of the faults and difficulties that are going on in this age, even in the Hare Krishna movement. So it's a difficult age. It's a very difficult age. But there's one very, what we say, not light, but bright light. It's not a light, it's a beacon. It's a huge spotlight. And that is Lord Chaitanya's mercy. It's so bright that it can destroy and dissipate all the difficulties of this age. That's the power of Lord Chaitanya's mercy coming in the form of the holy name of Krishna. So, therefore, Bhagavatam, in the beginning, they're discussing how best to institute a means for self-realization. How can we understand what is the best means for self-realization in this age? And that's mentioned. And therefore, Bhagavatam, if you study Bhagavatam very carefully, the very last verse in the Bhagavatam, what does it do? This is, I think, well, maybe we don't have, do we have the last chapter? Yeah, this is on. After going through all 18,000 slokas, there's part two, yeah. The last verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's in the 13th chapter, I think it's verse number 16. it says that Harinam Sankirtan is the only means of purification, self-realization, and spiritual elevation in this age. The glories of the holy name become summarized in that last verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. After Bhagavatam is describing all the various incarnations of the Lord, the various aspects of devotional practice, the various, what we say, categories of incarnations and the different creations and the sub-creations and the manus and the gunas and so many things. And even in the 10th canto, Krishna's pastimes are being, what we say, carefully explained so people in this age can get some understanding of Krishna and Vrindavan. But after all that, it ends with Harinam Sankirtan. So this is, as it mentioned in this previous verse, it's not an overstatement. It's an understatement. We can't overstate the glories of the holy name. There's one verse, it's a beautiful verse. It's from the Kali Santar Upanishads. Probably many of you know it. Iti Soda Sakam Nam Nam Kali Kamas Anasana Nata Parateyo Payo Sarva Vedashu Drishute. After searching to all Vedic literatures, scrutinizing, searching to all Vedic literatures, one cannot find a more simple, sublime, and perfect process of purification in this age. And chanting these 16 names, Iti Sodasakam. Sodasakam means 16. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna
Krishna,
Krishna
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The Vedas and various corollary, what we say, scriptures that support Vedic principles talk about various means for elevation. You can perform austerities, you can study scriptures, you can chant mantras, you can worship the deity, you can do various types of pujas. But it says that these things can elevate one, maybe above, at least into the mode of goodness, but they can't bring you to transcendence. They can help you move forward, away from the lower modes of passion and ignorance. That's why we perform all these other activities. Deity worship is not the Yuga Dharma. But Prabhupada gave us deity worship. Why did Prabhupada give us deity worship? He explains that. And because it helps us to purify our consciousness so we can develop the qualities that is necessary to approach Krishna in the form of His name. To approach Krishna in the form of His name. The study of the scriptures, or whatever vratas and austerities that we do perform, are help to purify our consciousness so we can try to get to the mode of goodness. What is the quality of the mode of goodness? The quality of the mode of goodness is that one is acting for the benefit of others, or benefit of the Lord. The mode of passion is selfish. The mode of ignorance is just destructive. There's nothing to say about the mode of ignorance. The mode of ignorance is excessive sleep, intoxication, and as much forms of sense gratification as one can perform, and in as many times they can perform it. In other words, just go for it until you, I think you have a nice neighborhood here. You can just again, I got a nice alarm clock at about quarter after two this morning. People are singing the glories of whatever they're singing. I don't know.
That's when the bars let out.
Oh. Oh, okay.
I know the time well.
Oh, okay. Good. Now, at least I'll be
not from personal experience.
I wasn't thinking like that. Sorry.
No.
So I know what to expect now, thank you. But this is the essence of all spiritual practices. And Prabhupada explains that It's all about chanting Hare Krishna. Now we can just try to just chant Hare Krishna, and ultimately that's the goal. Satatam kirtayantam. Satatam means always. To always chant the holy names. 24 hours a day. That's the ultimate goal of spiritual life, is to always remember Krishna. And the means in this age is Hariyam. But until the mind becomes what we say somewhat purified and situated in the mode of goodness, it's very difficult. It's not difficult, it's impossible. So one has to gradually purify themselves through performance of these other activities, along with carefully practicing the process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. In other ages, Prabhupada explains, the scriptures explain in Satya Yuga, 99.9% of the population was not only Krishna conscious, but on a very high level, Paramahansa. Very little materialistic activities or material consciousness in that age. People lived long lives, were highly qualified. And sometimes you might ask, well, did they chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in Satya Yuga? They knew about it, but it was too easy. It was too easy because they were so highly qualified that in order to, what we say, come to the platform of full God consciousness, there has to be some austerity. So in that age, the Astanga Yoga process, the Eightfold Mystic process, Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pratyahara, Pranayama, Dharana, Dhyani, and ultimately Samadhi. And people were qualified and lived long life. Now we can't even sit down and chant Hare Krishna for a half hour without getting restless, right? What to speak about doing the Astanga Yoga system. And then that takes great determination, austerity, and very difficult self-control. And it's not recommended. Hare Krishna speaks about it in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and then he basically dispenses with it. Prabhupada in the purports says, this is not the means for suffering. No one can practice in this age. There are yogis who do that. There are yogis who are in the Himalayas and in other holy places who are trying to practice. But what is their result? It's a difficult. It's very difficult. So in Treta Yuga, which was the next age down, things became a little bit more materialistic. One of the principles of religion was lost. What are the four principles of religion? Who knows? What's one of them?
Truthfulness.
Yes.
Austerity,
cleanliness, and mercy. Four legs by which religious principles are firmly and, what we say, solidly established. Cleanliness, mercifulness, austerity, truthfulness. As the ages move towards Kali, one of these principles is lost, gradually lost. So as we move into Treta Yuga, costly, people had wealth. Gold was available, precious metals were available. The age was still very, what we say, sattvic. And people were performing costly Vedic sacrifices. Brahmins were chanting perfectly the mantras from the Vedas. So perfectly that you can't make a mistake. If you make a little mistake in your chanting, the whole puja is off. It's gone. You have to start all over again. It's an error. Just if you say just one Sanskrit word wrong, even if you say the word right, but if you put the emphasis on the wrong syllable, it's wrong. That's how qualified people were for chanting Vedic mantras. But to speak now, sometimes I hear devotees chanting, I get nervous when I hear some of that Sanskrit. Of course, we sometimes pick up somebody else chanting it wrong, and we chant it wrong also. We're learning the wrong way sometimes. And it's like Sometimes we say, Hare Hara, Hare Hara Nama Krishna Yadavai Namaha, Hare Hara Nama Krishna. It's Hare Hara Ye Nama Krishna. If you say Hare Hara, you're saying all glories to Shiva. Well, that's not bad, but it's not the idea for the prayer. So here's an example. Or, as Prabhupada was one time mildly correcting his disciples, he's saying, I know you're very sincere, but when you chant the Guru Vastaka prayer, it's Vande Guru Shri, not Guru Gado. Because if you say Gado, that's cow. So Prabhupada said, please don't call your spiritual master a cow. So, you can hear it on the tape, Prabhupada's instructing us. Therefore, Sanskrit pronunciation is very exact. Nobody's watching us, so we get away with it. But this is an example how in the Treta Yuga, people were very much qualified to chant mantras. Now, as we move into Dwapara Yuga, deity worship was the means for self-realization in that age. And Prabhupada explains that deity worship that I am giving you, which is part of the Pancharatri system of deity worship, is somewhat 80% lenient. He's not giving us all the rules and regulations of deity worship. If he was, we would, as he said, you would never be able to do it. Impossible. He's made it so, what we say, simplified, and he's asked Krishna to somehow or other accept our somewhat awkward attempt to worship him in that form. But in Dwapara Yuga, that was the means for self-realization. So no one can perform these previous ages, these vratas for self-realization. Therefore, Krishna has come in the form of his name, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And Prabhupada said, and chanting is so easy. It's like he mentioned earlier, and one time he was discussing with someone said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, when you first started the movement, you gave us 64 rounds. Prabhupada said, yes. And then you told us 32, we couldn't do 64. Prabhupada said, yes. And now you've given us 16. Prabhupada said, you can't even do that. So difficult to chant 16 rounds. So we can get a little understanding about how merciful the Lord is in this age. There's a lot of mercy. And this mercy extends itself in that if one seriously chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, understanding that this chanting ultimately is the supreme form of all worship in this age. Sometimes, like in Western countries, people come in and they see singing and the dancing and they think, what is this, some kind of entertainment? Or even people from India, they see us and they think, well, that's nice, they're just jumping around. But, we do pujas and we do this and we do that and that's very important. But it says in the list of offenses that anyone who tries to equate any other spiritual practice, either what we say, the same as or greater than the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, chanting of the Hare, it's offensive. It's one of the offenses, the eighth offense on the holy names of the Lord. So people sometimes observe and think wrongly. Therefore, we should understand that this chanting and dancing is the highest form of spiritual activity. And it's fun. But when it's done with devotion, and that's what it should be, and with great attention, it attracts the heart and mind of the Lord. And we sing the glories of the Lord. And that is purification. Fasting, we can purify our heart. So we can go through verse after verse. There are so many verses. There's a beautiful verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that says that Out of all the spiritual practices, nothing can compare to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It may seem so simple, and it is. It's very simple. But then again, to practice regularly with determination and with the proper consciousness takes practice, takes purification of the heart. So the scriptures are full of the glorifications of the Lord in the form of His holy name. Goloka Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. That this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it's not created by some sage or some self-realized soul, or even by the greatest of all great souls. It's coming from Goloka. Goloka Prema Dan Harina. It's coming from the spiritual world. It's coming down. It's a form of mercy coming from the spiritual world. And this is the mood in this age, that this holy name, when it's chanted with that understanding, it helps to understand how valuable this name is. Sometimes people would ask Prabhupada, please give me your mercy. He would say, chant Hare Krishna. That's all, just chant Hare Krishna. That's all, Prabhupada? Yeah, just that's all, chant Hare Krishna. But we should have some understanding of the value. His Holiness Satchinandana Swami Maharaj gives a nice little story explaining how people may not also understand the value of what is being chanted. Would you like to hear a story?
Yes.
Am I waking anybody up? I'm sorry if I woke anybody up. The chant, he explains that there is one sadhu, and one disciple comes to the sadhu and says, Guru Maharaj, I want to become your disciple. The sadhu says, sure. And he says, what do I have to do? He said, I'm going to give you a mantra. You have to chant this mantra always. This is the mantra for worshipping in this age. He said, this mantra is a very special mantra. It's a very precious mantra. And therefore, I'm going to teach you. Okay, let me teach you the mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So he's so happy. He's got the mantra. He's going around. He's chanting. He's walking everywhere. He passes this gap where some ladies are washing clothes. And they're washing their clothes and they're, you know, hitting it on the rocks and they're chanting Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Not the mantra, but just chanting Krishna's name. He's thinking, this is a powerful mantra. This is a very special mantra. And these simple village ladies are just washing their clothes and chanting the mantra. He's a little confused. So he goes on and he sees some young boys and they're playing cricket. And they're hitting the ball with the bat. And they're saying, Krishna, Hare Krishna, when they're hitting the ball. So he's thinking, what is this? Two in a row. Somebody else's. These kids are just chanting the mantra, and they're playing this sport. What did my guru give me? So he goes on. And he sees some fishermen. And they're fishing. They're taking their net and putting it into the water. And they're trying to get fish, and they're chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah, this is too much. Now he went immediately back to his guru, and he said, Guru Maharaj, you know, I don't want to complain, no, I don't want to question your credibility, but, you know, you told me this is a very powerful, special mantra, it can give you the highest... I just see all these simple people, they're doing their ordinary activities, they're just chanting the mantra. I'm confused. So he said, all right. So he reached into his bag, the guru, and he pulled out this really big, beautiful gem. very valuable. He said, here, take this gem and offer it to those people you saw. So he goes back and he sees the ladies, and they're still there doing their wash. So he says, my dear ladies, I have this wonderful, beautiful gem for you. It's a gift. Here, please take it. And they're looking at it and saying, they look at each other. What should we do with that? Oh, it's a rock. We can use it for washing our clothes. So then he goes on. He realizes they don't understand the value. So he goes to the boys. The boys are still playing. So he says, my dear boys, wait, I have something. Here's something that's valuable. It's so, it'll give you so much wealth. He says, here, please take it. He said, oh, that's a nice looking ball. We could definitely hit it with our bat. So he realizes these boys don't understand. So he goes to the fishermen and offers them also. They said, oh, what can we do with that? Oh, yeah, it's a good rock. We'll tie it to our net, and we'll just, that net will go down faster. So get the message that they didn't understand the value of what he was trying to give them. Although they were chanting the holy names, and at the same time, there's always benefit for chanting. Somehow or other, the understanding of the chanting wasn't there. So that's why the scriptures, over and over, and what with such completeness and thoroughness, explain how important it is to chant Hare Krishna. To put, what we say, our complete attention in chanting the holy names of the Lord. And we'll explore that a little bit later in terms of some of the practices we can use to improve the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But in this age, and it's a difficult age, it's very difficult to practice Krishna consciousness. It's difficult to practice any bona fide form of religion. In fact, it's an age of cheating. And there are many spiritual practices out there from various types of avenues. And people are making some, what we say, elevation away from the material energy, some. Or a lot of it is also just to improve your material. It's like sometimes people come to our temple and they stand before the deities and they, you know what they're praying for. They're not praying for pure devotional service. They're praying for something else. But it says that when you pray for anything but devotional service to Krishna, that prayer doesn't reach Krishna. It goes to his secretaries. And he says, you can deal with this. I'm not. Krishna is only deals with, what we say, devotion. He doesn't deal with these material prayers. Those things he gives to his representatives and they carry it out. Sometimes. Depending on a lot of factors. But anyway, so therefore to approach the Supreme Lord, we approach only for devotional service. And the means to approach the Lord, especially in this age, and people ask me, I have Gaura-Nitai deities, how do I worship Gaura-Nitai deities? I simply say, you just have kirtan, that's all. You can do a little puja if you like, but without the kirtan, the puja really won't be appreciated. It won't be really accepted. Everything centers around the glories of Krishna's name. So in these two verses, it says any other results from any other form of spiritual practice are simply, what we say, a small benefit compared to the glories of the chanting of the holy name. Everything is there. Prabhupada mentions, and I'm sorry, Prabhupada's disciples mention here that austerity, yoga meditation, deity worship, sacrifice, and various other functions, no one can perform them in this age. So chanting is everything. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he appeared, one of the things he used to do is he would, as a little child, he would cry. And everyone would try to, how are we going to get him to stop crying? They would try different things. He would keep crying. And then someone started to chant. As soon as they started to chant, he stopped. And then when they all started to chant, he would laugh and smile and give his blessings. And then when they would stop, he would cry again. He would do that. He would just keep crying when they weren't chanting. And then as soon as they started to chant, he would again smile, look at them very pleasingly and satisfyingly. So that was Krishna. He always, Lord Chaitanya loved, and was teaching at the same time, always to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So there's so many wonderful stories. We can emphasize how, amongst all the other practices, we have so many other things to do, but we have to put, what we say, maximum time and attention and quality emphasis, we might say. Quality comes by emphasizing quality. It doesn't come by at first. By emphasizing quality. That has to be exclusive. That has to be exclusive. The glories of the holy name. Everything centers around that. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he's really quite strong in his statements. He says that if someone says, I have no time for chanting, I have no time for reading, I have too many other services to do, he says they never get the mercy of the spiritual master. Would you like to hear what else he says? You sure? It's his statement, so don't blame me. He says, and those who say that, first he says they never get the mercy of the spiritual, and it's like a bad smell coming from the body. He says, those who make that statement, nobody wants to, nobody likes bad smells. So it's the glories of the holy name are the glories of Krishna in this age. So we should see how important it is to emphasize the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we'll leave a little time for discussion and questions. The other classes, I'll go more into detail in how to improve, or how we can discuss improving the qualities of our japa. Not to give any his country.
Martha, I just missed, who said that about the bad smell, if they think that...
It's Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. I have that quote written, I can send it to you.
If you could, I'm going to send you a note. That'd be nice to have.
It's on my computer, I can send it.
We hear that, though, I don't have time.
It was written in the Orion, one of his publications.
Thank you.
Yes. Question?
So if the recommended way of spiritual advancement in this age is to chant Hare Krishna, then why is it also recommended that we study the Shastra? Why isn't just chanting sufficient?
Yeah, I think we mentioned that. To approach the holy name, one has to chant offensively. In the beginning, we're chanting with offense. And then there's the offensive stage, then there's the clearing stage, and gradually the offenses are starting to be removed. Then there is what is saying the offenseless stage, and then there's the highest stage, pure chanting. So you want to come to the higher stages. So the other activities of devotional service are meant to purify our activities and our consciousness so we can help, so we can purify ourselves by chanting the holy. We study the scripture so we get a clear understanding of the philosophy that centers around the glories of the holy name. And we understand also how Maya works. A lot of the explanations in Shastra, especially by the Acharyas, help us understand what to avoid. And unless we understand what to avoid, it's like we call it a hasti snan. An elephant takes a bath, but then he goes and pours dirt over him after he takes his bath. So we want to, as we practice devotional service, we want to avoid getting recontaminated again. So having good scriptural understanding of the process helps us to avoid those things, which can again bring us our consciousness down. When we see the deities, the mind becomes somewhat clear and purified, and worship the deities. We have to worship in the mode of goodness. We have to develop those qualities that are conducive to practicing devotional service. So that's why Prabhupada gave us deity worship. He says it's essential in this age, although it's not the Yuga Dharma. And the principles we follow, the do's and don'ts in our Krishna consciousness, are all meant to accentuate and accelerate our spiritual practice and help us not to go backwards. So like that. So the process is a package, but the essence, the foundation, and the goal is the holy name. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you, brother.
Thank you. All right. Yes, Mahatapa.
Maharaj, well, certainly thank you for taking the time to come to San Diego and extend yourself in this course to us. In both of the verses you chose for the basis of your discussion today, it's stated Kirtanat Eva Krishnasya and Hari Kirtanat. So it's a Kirtan of Krishna.
Right.
Or Kirtan about Krishna. Or for Krishna. And somehow or other we tend to always associate or identify that with japa more often than with the group kirtan. And we give a lot of importance to chanting 16 rounds of our japa, but in many other places, like the Yasya Sankirtanam, whatever the last verse of the Bhagavatam is,
yeah.
It says Sankirtana, which could also be translated as a group kirtana.
Yeah.
So, if you could tell us something about the difference between group chanting and individual chanting, and especially now, since His Grace Indra Prabhu passed away, lots of devotees, especially they were sort of trained by him, they emphasize Sankirtana, the group kirtana. I'm not saying that that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
well, Prabhupada gave us both. And one supports the other, and the other supports the other. They support each other. And Lord Chaitanya, he chanted japa. You can see, there's pictures of him with beads, and he would always chant every day, and he would chant in front of of Tulsi, always. So Lord Chaitanya was very strict in chanting japa, but he did emphasize kirtan. And the word Sankirtan, the word San has another, what we say, meaning besides group or together. The word San, in the word Sanskrit, Sanskrit means the perfect script or the perfect language. So in this same way, the definition of San means there's no more perfect way to glorify the Lord in this age than Sankirtan or Kirtan. So it's the best of all forms of worship. And it's been given exclusive priority by the Lord Himself. Like that. Is that, does that answer your question?
Yeah.
But do you want to know why we put so much emphasis on japa?
Yes.
Well, it helps to control the mind. It also helps us to associate with Krishna through, I mean, good japa is powerful. Kirtan is, Ayendra said something interesting in one of his tapes. He said, japa is like taking tablets for a disease, and kirtan is like a direct injection. So both are medicine, right? So, but kirtan, when you're in kirtan, you know, all of a sudden, the sound of Krishna's name is coming out from all sides. and therefore the mind is easily recaptured. It's a lot harder to focus on Krishna's name in japa. But it helps us to practice to control the mind and to develop detachment from sense gratification. So we have to practice japa also. It's not what we say external or what we say optional. It's required. The spiritual master is giving us 16 rounds.
Personally, for me, the group kirtana with instruments and music, it's certainly very engaging.
Yeah.
But it does not engage me as deeply and as powerfully as a personal japa where, you know, there's no music. I mean, there's no movement. There's no... Because all these things sort of come in a way of distraction. Whereas when I chant japa, I mean, I'm actually calling out to Krishna and there's no melody to follow. You know, it's...
You should give a class on this. This is wonderful to hear because people underestimate the importance of japa over kirtan.
I don't have to look whether I'm going to bump into someone. All that's eliminated. And it's just me and Krishna, and there's no one around to fake or show off before. I mean, I guess you could be showing off by keeping your back erect or, you know.
But there's, if we talk from the ideal platform, when you have an ideal kirtan, or when kirtan is working according to how it should work, it's powerful. When that means everyone's pulling together, everyone's working to hear the mantra and to chant from their heart. Chanting is chanting from the heart, not just from, you know, mechanically. There's kirtan and then there's kirtan. Just like there's prasadam and there's prasadam. So we want to increase the quality of that. But a powerful kirtan, you can't. Powerful kirtan, I've seen it go. You can go on for hours with no problem. And if everybody's in that proper consciousness, and especially the singer. Yes?
So you were saying that one complements the other, kirtan, and it complements japa, and japa and complements kirtan. So if you're having good kirtan, wouldn't that mean that your japa would be good? Like,
it should be.
A good kirtan, and then you go and chant japa right afterwards.
It's hearing and chanting. Yeah. Both are hearing and chanting. One is giving you more support through group, and others you have to, the japa you have to more or less work on it yourself. But as Mahatma Prabhu mentioned, that when you're properly chanting your japa, then you're fixed, you're focused. You don't have to worry about anything else. It's just you and the holy name.
Like, I've had experience where like being on Harinam and chanting for a long time, and then after Harinam, actually having not complete pace, but some pace for chanting, actually wanting to just sit down and chant here and actually being able to chant with, properly and right after Harinam.
Yeah. They both support each other. Someone asked Prabhupada, they asked this question many times, how do you feel when you're chanting? Prabhupada said, I feel powerful. Well, that was one answer. Another time he said, I feel fearless. I have no fear. He was talking about japa. And good japas. It's the holy name is the holy name. Anything else? Anyone else? Questions? Yes?
What are the advantages between using Tulasi beads and other sorts of japa beads?
Like neem beads?
Yeah.
There's two beads that I know of, neem and Tulasi beads.
You had the Russian devotees chanting on dry bread.
Oh, yeah.
Pushed into bowls.
Good answer. So, the beads are meant for, how we say, to focus the consciousness on, what we say, focus the sense of touch. When you're chanting, you're using hearing what we say, speaking, chanting and hearing, and you bring in touch. And that's the third sense. So you're using three of the senses. And it helps to increase the quality of meditation. Like that. So what Bhatri's saying is true. It's nice. But if you squeeze the bread too hard, it's not, you might put your fingers through it.
You dry it. Hard as a rock.
Hard as a rock, yeah. So it's more or less a form of what we say, concentration, to help us concentrate more. And to count. So what is that? Sakya Purnam Nanabibi. What is that verse from the, you know, from the Six Goswami Astakam? Sakya Purnam. Sankhya. Sankhya means to count. Purnam. And the Goswamis counted a specific number of beads. They kept count. The Prabhupada wanted that. Radhanath Swami tells a nice little story. He had lost his counter beads. And then he was listening, he was thinking, Prabhupada was giving a lecture. So he was thinking, you know, I could just chant. And Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and he held up his bead, and he just went like this with the counter bead like this. As part of the lecture, and there was some. And then Maharaj said, oh, I got the message, I should get some counter beads. So, you know, we should count. And there's another verse, I don't remember the reference, but it's also mentioned, the importance of counting. Some beads in there to help us count.
Well, my question was, I've heard other people say, and I've experienced from my own experience, that when you chant japa with Tulasi beads, I always connect a lot more than if I were to use say neem or sandalwood or something like that. So
Bhadri says he can, he says anything's good.
Tulsi is nice, it's best. I remember probably telling Vishnujan, you want to touch a woman, touch Tulsi. So chanting nicely on Tulsi, there's definitely benefit.
Not Tulsi Mataji, but Tulsi.
Tulsi Japa.
Yeah.
Tulsi Wood.
Yeah.
So if you, you know.
There's some ladies in there that are Tulsi.
Yeah. Thank you. Clearing that up. Much appreciated. Lest my honor go astray. But you know, what Marge is saying, chant nicely on the beads. There are Russian, there are devotees who were in the cells chanting pure dedicated japa on dry bread. And there's devotees chanting on Tulsi beads this big from Radhakund, totally in Maya. So, what's called, not the
that's
good, Tulsi at all.
The point is, yeah, you need some kind of form of counting. And so the recommended ones is the ones that are offered, the Tulsi and the neem beads. Well, Tulsi's sacred. Tulsi's sacred. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada also states that of all the instructions that spiritual master gives, one to chant 16 rounds is the most important.
The statement goes, to chant 16 rounds every day on beads without fail. It says on beads. That's part of that statement. Yeah, that's true. That question was asked. Prabhupada answered that. What is your most important instruction? Yeah. So, really, I was just with Giriraj Swami. And I was with him in September in Ukraine. He told an interesting story, and I asked him about it again yesterday. Prabhupada wanted devotees to have 12-hour kirtan every day in temples, 12 hours of kirtan. And then the devotees said, well, we have so many services, and like that. So it got down that Prabhupada said, at least have 12-hour kirtan once a week. So we're actually not following what Prabhupada said. You read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says 3 hours of kirtan every night in all our temples. It's in the ads. I can give you the verse. You like the reference?
I don't want to disagree with you, Marsh. I think you can find other quotes. It's not that Prabhupada gave some secret instruction or some clear instruction and that we're supposed to do it and we're all in Maya that we're not following. He gave so many other instructions.
Right, that's true. But we don't chant enough.
That I'll accept.
Okay. Yeah. So what Prabhupada said every day, 12 hours, is that Giriraj Swami asked Tumal Krishna Goswami. Come on, Krishna Goswami said, Prabhupada was transcendentally bargaining. He knew he couldn't do 12 hours every day. But he wanted us to do more kirtan. So he got it down to one day a week, 12 hours. So, that's the process. How do you know? Okay, anything else? Okay, again, it's almost quarter after, so about 8 more minutes. Can end a little early. Okay, thank you very much. Sri Hari Nam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Nam.